We've been practicing with the Shantideva's texts for the last 2 months on the path of the Bodhisattva. And we started holding this as a framework, if you will, for the rains retreat. The beginning of November, everyone was invited into intentioning for 3 months something of practice. And so I'm hoping that continues in good stride. I know sometimes it's challenging over the holidays. It's all kinds of stuff going on, all kinds of impingements. And still, that's the path, right? Where there's one verse in the Bodhisattva's path that says, it's in the midst of adversity that we almost like we sharpen our bodhicitta. We sharpen this intention toward goodness, and we sharpen this virtue of awakening. And yet we know that that's easier said than done. And yet that's the path that we are striving toward. And it's a wonderful thing to have that as a path, actually. As a purpose in life. And so today I wanted to share, it's the beginning of the new year, as we continue to kind of just touch on pieces of this this book of the Bodhisattva's path. It's really, as we've shared, it talks about why this is an important path, how important that is. Why is it so important to wake up? And then it talks about how do we keep that good intention to wake up? How do we keep it alive? How do we make it not disappear? And then the last part of the book is what are the practices that can help us maintain it in its place? How do we make it grow? Right? So it's sort of broken into three parts. The first part is why it's so important. What's this big deal about awakening? And then the second is, as I said, how do we make sure that that good intention, that virtue, that moving away from self-absorption and narrowness of mind, how do we make sure that declines and this goodness and this virtue grows? And the third part is the enthusiasm for it to grow, the meditation that helps it to grow, the insight that helps it to grow. So since it's a new year, it felt good to just go through the reminding again. In the piece, the verse at the beginning of our invitation for this sit was two verses actually from the first chapter of the book. Saying, in brief, the spirit of awakening is known to be of two kinds: the spirit of aspiring for awakening and the spirit of venturing toward awakening. And the other verse, just as one perceives the difference between a person who yearns to travel and a traveler, so do the learned recognize the corresponding difference between those two. So, and the other verses go on. It's a book of verses, right? Each chapter has many verses, and then you can get other books that have commentaries on each verse and like that. So the whole chapter is sort of talking about why the spiritual awakening is so important. And then in the middle of it, there's this verse, I think this is verse 15 and 16, that says, and then there's two kinds of spiritual awakening. And it's sort of self-evident, the next verse, which is, there's one where we aspire toward it. This is like, I want to go travel to this place or that place. Even we dream about it. We plan it. And then the other one is the venturing. And I compared several texts. This book's been written in by many different authors or translated. And I looked at three, and some use this word venture and aspire. Others use aspire and action and experience as the second kind, the venturing, the acting into, the action-oriented. One is more dreaming, thinking of, aspiring toward, and the other one is this action, this moving into it. And so these are the two ways that we think about it, that we're going to aspire and then we're going to act into it, right? And that the beautiful thing is that it's a path, and so it often starts with the aspiration. And as we build this aspiration, it translates into action. And sometimes it's actually better to do the aspiration first, because it prepares our heart to open more and more in such a way that the heart's so open, it's ready to act into it. So one example, one of the commentaries offer is, offering the intention. You know how we share merit when we practice together. We gather merit from our practice together, because we're intentioning our mind. We're thinking of ways we want to open our hearts and share goodness with the world. And so often at the end of our practice, we offer out that merit, right? We always say, may it benefit us or something like that, and then may it benefit all beings. And so the aspiration part of this awakening is we're intentioning it, right? We're sharing this merit. We're giving it. It's a generous act, actually, to not just sit and practice for ourselves, but reflect on what was created from our practice together, or individual practice. If we sit or we practice walking, the merit we generate from that, do we just keep it for ourselves, or do we offer it out to others, to someone who we met, to someone we know, to people we don't even know, to all sentient beings, to the trees, to the little doggy that we passed on the street. So we're doing it. And this process of doing this over and over again, it actually continuously opens the heart more and more. It's a virtue. It's this very beautiful ethical act. It's an act of generosity, because we're offering kindness. And as we continuously practice this kindness, what we find is transformation is happening. We get joy from it, right? So this path is a path of actually growing immeasurable joy. So all this is growing in us as we're aspiring, right? The joy is growing, the heart is opening. We're generously offering the benefit of our practice. We might start often with people we know, you know, I hope this is good for this person, or I hope this person gets this thing that they're a job or something. And then we move beyond that and we start extending out this I hope, this generosity, this kindness of heart. I hope everybody on, you know, like after a disaster, it's a good time to think about it. When we say, oh, I hope the people didn't suffer, or I hope they get their electricity back. Something as that we may not think is important. This is part of the way we continuously grow our bodhicitta, grow our kindness, our goodness for all beings. When we drive down the street or walk down the street and an accident happens, what's the first thing that comes to our mind? If the first thing is, I hope no one was hurt, This is our bodhicitta showing up. And that will show up like that as we grow this heart. It's an amazing transformation that happens as we continuously practice to open our hearts. And so it goes from, you know, and it's real, right? You're driving down the street and the road, let's say the highway, and the whole other side is completely blocked. And what's sometimes the first thing that comes to mind as we're like whizzing along on the other side? Sure, glad that I'm not on that side, right? I mean, it's real. It's just the nature of who we are as beings, as human beings. And then as we practice this open-heartedness, the sharing, where we get so used to always sharing and sharing out the goodness, right? Like the merit of our practice. When we see that, the first thing will come to mind is, I hope no one is hurt. And then eventually we'll get to, and I'm glad I'm not on that side, because, you know, I got this thing going on at whatever, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. So it's not a completely like, you know, minimizing our needs. It's also this, it's not a but, it's an and also, right? But we're not on that side where all the traffic and we're not getting harmed. But often when we see an accident, someone may be harmed. And so the first thing is, wow, I hope no one's harmed. And this is how the expansiveness grows. This is how the heart opens. And we also want to be really clear that none of this aspiration and action is from leaving ourselves behind. Because what's also very clear in the teachings is that one cannot offer out, as we always say, what we don't have. In fact, there's a beautiful verse that says, how can we expect this bodhicitta to develop for others if we can't develop it for ourselves? So it always has to start with ourselves. And that's why when we share the merit, we always bring it back to, may the benefit of this practice may continue to heal us, and what we create continue to transform for us. And in so doing, may we be able to help many, many beings. May this continue outward and just rippling beyond places we can see in this lifetime and other lifetimes. And then as we continue to open this heart, because it grows, then we move into action. So then it becomes a generous act, and it's small things. And it's not just this action of generosity, because action of generosity can look in different ways, right? So working in the work that we do, how do we act out this continuation of our bodhicitta ideals and this aspiration to spiritual awakening? So we bring, so the heart's so open now, right? Because we've been aspiring, we've been doing all this, sending metta, sending kindness, thinking good thoughts, that it just naturally comes out in our action. So unbeknownst to us, as we've been, you know, dreaming forward this generosity, we then take it on, we take it on, we act it. And it becomes so normal that it's not even this like, I'm going to act into generosity now, or it becomes part of the heart that's open, that just brings us into that way of being. So this is the magic of it, is it's a rehabituating of the heart and the mind in such a way that the actions follow it. And it's a path, right? As we know that the teachings always say, this is a gradual path. So this initial aspiration is an important part that trains us and moves us into action that comes naturally from the aspiring. And they're back and forth, right? Because then the action reinforces the aspirations, the aspirations turn into the actions, and just like that, this individual and this collective, it just comes together. And so this path of awakening, that this bodhicitta that Shantideva speaks about is really, it's something that we always talk about. And yet there's a way, I think, that we don't realize how much sitting together, practicing, intentioning our mind toward goodness, I think sometimes we forget that it's growing something else that is happening even unplanned. Yeah. So, and this goodness that we offer out, it's one that it comes right back to us. It's a mutual, it's mutual, right? I heard a teacher, a nun, the other day offered this really beautiful example of, you know, what we call mutual aid, Aya Dhammadipa. She's a nun in the Theravada, initially Zen, but now Theravada tradition. About when we do these acts of generosity, that we don't realize that we are getting blessings as well. That then it's that kind of bouncing back, right? So this was, I think, before she was a nun and she was a chaplain with hospice care, going to someone's home who was supposed to maybe be passing away in a few hours to offer blessings, and going into the place, and she hadn't met the person before, but seeing the person laying there, going in, introducing herself and taking the person's hands and saying, introducing herself and saying, "I've come to offer blessings." And the person, the woman, holds her hand really tightly, her hands really tightly. And all she says is, "Blessings, blessings." And Aya Dhammadipa says, "Yes, I've come to offer blessings." And this goes, I guess, back and forth a few times, blessings. And this woman is holding her hands really tight. And what she realized was this woman was offering her blessings. So here this person, in the, you know, I think what she said is she didn't pass that night, but she passed about 2 days later. I think it's such a beautiful way to really hold our understanding of generosity and kindness, right? Because we often think, as we grow our hearts, that we are the ones offering, and we sometimes forget that we are also being offered something back as we offer something out. So this was such a concrete example of a person you think you're blessing, who's maybe, because they're about to pass, we think they have no strength, or no, they don't have that, we don't think they have the, they're not in the place that they can offer something to us. And yet they we're always receiving something back, even when we don't know it. So this path of practice, it's this generosity that we aspire into and we practice with. The reason that it grows from aspiring to action and action to aspiring is that it continuously, it's part of what keeps it going, right? It grows it. So it's not only that we're aspiring and we're practicing in this way into action, but the action is what also brings our bodhicitta forward, because we receive it, if we can be open enough, if our hearts can remain open, so we can actually see what we receive. Like when we give someone on the street money, you know, what's in our mind when we're offering that money? Is it I hope you have blessings and goodness? Is it a place of, I don't really want to do this here? The squeegee kids, right? In Baltimore, we know that's a deal. How do we do that? What's in our mind and our heart when we give? Do we think we're receiving nothing? Do we see ourselves as better? Because that's part of the bodhicitta mind and heart. It's not one of superiority and inferiority. It's one of, it allows us to see the non-separation. It allows us to see the interbeing nature of who everyone is. And just as we say, right? Just by the grace of God, go I. And so how do we always stay in that grace as we build up our bodhicitta and move away from this kind of narrowness where everything is kind of focused around our own selves, our own needs? That doesn't allow us to see what else is there, to see that there is more that's there. So I think that's all I'll say. The path of practice is one of opening ourselves to this awakening that is our birthright. It's right there already. It's all there already. It's just waiting for us to notice it. And this path of practice is one that helps us to begin to take the layers off these habits that we've gotten into, start to unlayer them, to reveal this birthright of being awake. And we come together because we need to remind each other, right? And so that's another thing that's really heavily taught in this bodhisattva path is just by reciting something will remind us, and it drops another piece of food onto that bodhicitta ideal to keep it opening and growing. Because unfortunately, there's so much ways that things impinge on us to not make us keep opening. And so we do part of that intentioning, the aspiration, is to find the means to do that. The coming to Sangha, to listening to a teaching, the reading of a book, the taking the time in the morning to sit, or at night, or whenever we have the availability, or we're sitting in the car and waiting for someone, can we breathe for 2 or 3 minutes at the traffic light? Can we let the light be a mindfulness bell and invite us to take 3 breaths in and out the stop sign? Can we take a breath in and a breath out? When we eat, can we chew mindfully for the first 5 minutes? All these practices are practices that keep dropping the water, the nourishment on this bodhisattva ideal that keeps it growing into virtue and opening the heart, moving us away from kind of that self-centered narrowness of just me and opening to this bigger than me. So it's really this heart opening, and all the different ways we practice continues to keep that heart open. Because the world as we know it today is such in such struggle. So the collective consciousness is one that can really weigh us down. It can really like pull our bodhisattva, our heart awakening. It can give it a hard time, give it a run for its money, right? And so these times then, it really invites us to find what are going to be the skillful means that's going to keep us on our path, that's going to help us see that traffic accident on the other side and wish for no harm. Because right now we're not in harm. So we're not in harm, and can we appreciate the not in harmness and offer that outward? Or do we cling to that and not allow that to reverberate outward? So that's what this practice does, is it keeps building us. It keeps opening our hearts. Just like in the meditation, like, can we notice what might be restricted in our body that keeps us from opening? And so when we breathe in and we begin to notice, what is there in this body? Where am I stuck? What is it holding? What keeps my heart physically from opening? What keeps my shoulders physically from opening so my heart is exposed? So as we do our own healing, this is our path. This healing allows us to know what is it that we need to heal, to be feeling that spaciousness, to be open. So where are the places in our body that's spacious? So we can invite that to take care of the places that aren't spacious. And in so doing, we keep growing our hearts, growing this mind and body that's open and ready to not only care for ourselves, but in caring for ourselves, knowing that that's going to have this big effect. It's just going to naturally and magically have this action toward others as well. So thank you for listening, and I invite the sound of the bell for us to come back to our breath and just drop everything you just heard. And I'll stop the recording after the bell.